or he goes out and photographs and he lets the person come along and they can ask questions or he'll answer questions.
You also here mentioned various studios that he had with Edward and then some studios that he had on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I don't have any sense of what role commercial photography has really played in his livelihood.
Very small role. He used to try, I mean in the early days, like Edward, he did portraits. But after that, I remember by the time I knew him, let's say, which is where I'm on sure ground factually, he would get an occasional request, say, to do magazine photography, even within his own type of work, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but as an example, say it was photograph the Oregon coast for us. And he could not do that by temperament. He is an artist, and he could never do it, so it suited the magazine editors. I mean, they published it, but it was never... he does not have that kind of cooperative temperament. Bear in mind that the period I'm talking about was much less adventurous in terms of what editors would publish photographically. They wanted, if it was going to be a color ad for Kodak, Kodak still wanted somebody in a red jacket in the middle of the Sierra scene. Now, all of that's changed a good deal. But meantime, I think, while it was changing, Brett gradually relinquished and didn't really have to do anything like that. And you can ask him what he's been doing in the last 20 years, but I'd be very surprised if he has done many things of that kind. I think it played a right minor role. One of the last things we did together was an assignment, which was just up his alley, and he did a very good job of it. One of the big Chicago architectural firms, Skidmore, Owings, Merrill, out of Chicago, of course they have big offices, I think, in New York and so forth. At any rate, they assigned Brett to go and photograph a whole number of buildings they had done, including some in Wisconsin, Chicago area, to meet them, and in New York, the Bankers Trust. At that time, I believe that was it was on a Fifth Avenue corner, I guess it still is. At that time, it was one of their newest buildings, and it was quite sensational because it had glass walls with one of those beautiful vault doors showing, and this was a, and I can remember being let in there on Sunday with Brett to photograph it. And the marvelous abstract forms we were both finding in escalators and so forth in that building. So he's done some things like that. He's particularly good, I would say, at architectural work.
I came across in the Ethan House collection a whole series of photographs called Cities Service. And mm-hmm. It was photographs of oil storage tanks and looked like petroleum processing plants.
Yes.
And I don't have the exact date on that, but
yes.
I wonder whether perhaps that was a piece that was somewhat like you're talking about.
I'm not familiar
with
it.
It doesn't appear anywhere in his chronology. Again, perhaps it's something I'll have to ask him about.
Yeah. But, you know, it's very interesting. I wonder what's happened to those things. I bet Brett hasn't kept them. But they may be in the files of Skidmore, Owings, Merrill, some photographs he did of those bags.
It
would be interesting to find. So I don't know for sure, but I would suspect it has gone on in the last years as it was before. But this has really played a minor part in his life. He's tightened his belt and always managed to buy film and keep photographing.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, if he wasn't doing a lot of commercial work, and if he wasn't having students in a sense, I was beginning to try to think, how is it that he was able to support himself?
Well, because Edward had laid the groundwork that there were people who would come and look at the work and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had visitors who came, and like Edward, he would show a group of photographs and they would buy a photograph or two. And then I described to you that he had some patrons, particularly David McAlpin Sr., who bought regularly from him once or twice a year, a group, so that Brett knew. You must remember the differences in money values. This is the late 40s, 50s, who would buy several hundred, $300-$400 worth at a time, which was enough for us to live on for a long time.
Was Merrill Armitage such a person too in relation to Brett's work?
No, not. He was a promoter of Brett's work, but not in by giving any direct money to Brett. He made the first book of Brett's work, mm-hmm. and I guess have you seen that?
Yes.
Those were limited editions, however.
Right.
But
I didn't.
He also did.
I didn't perceive it as being a financially successful thing. It was a very important
thing
to have done.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But Brett was really very attached to Merle, and I don't know whether Merle ever really realized it, because Merle once called Brett a cool cookie. He was very honest about it. And he was speaking of Brett emotionally, in emotional terms, I think.
He also, in his own autobiography, comments, in his own estimation, again, getting back to the comparison that you and I have said,
yes,
we try to avoid, he estimated Brett to be perhaps a far more important 20th century photographer than Edward was,
yes,
which is just an interesting observation,
yes,
that he made.
Yes. Well, I think he may, I can't answer for that, but I think he may have been responding to this more modern content in a lot of, I think that Edward's work is classic in the real sense of the word, timelessly, so. And I think that Merle, who was so immersed in modern art and modern artists, discovering them and so forth, may have been responding to this more, particularly the use of abstract form.
Another person that I hear mentioned in relation to Brett a lot, and I don't really understand the nature of what their relationship was, is Bernie Freemesser.
I can't tell you. Know nothing about it. It's probably since my time.
Yeah, Bernie Freemesser teaches at the University of Oregon. And
yes, I know that he's had a good friend there, and that he's gone up there, and that he's had a rooting section at that university for quite a while and all, but I don't know, know him or anything about him.
You were real frank with me when we were in the kitchen. You said, well, I'm a friend of Brett's, and I want you just to know where that's at, so
yes,
you can feel comfortable about talking about things. Is the subject of Brett's marriage is something that he's sensitive about, something that would
I
be...
I don't think so. None of them, I don't think.
And it's not that I have any questions in my, you know, in the back of my pocket that are some kind of confrontive thing.
Yeah.
It's just that I wouldn't want to get into a question that was, say, for example, that related to his marriages that would clearly put him uptight and make it difficult for him to talk.
I can't answer for him, but I don't think so. He's fairly open.
Hmm.
He'll tell you. At least what Brett has a habit, he has a way of just going straight to the heart of something, or at least what he thinks about something. He'll sum it up in a sentence or two, and then he really won't tell you any more about it. He may have said all that's important about it, but he doesn't make a lot of words about it like the rest
of us.
My
work is cut out for
me. So he may see, she was my most beautiful wife or something, and that's all he will say about such and such a marriage. I can't tell you, something of that kind. But no. Yes, I just wanted it for the record that I admired and respected Brett, and that we've never been on anything but very amicable terms and still are.
Would you be able to generalize anything about what role women play in Brett's life, or how they have they influenced his work, or just is there any interaction along those lines?
I don't, only in the sense that when sex and love are always relate to the emotional and therefore the general well-being of people, and in that sense, yes, like every man's, he has been very macho about sex. Sort of a man. I think youth is important to him, or has been. I think he's accepting more that he's not young, which was an important step for him to take. But it's as if, well, his friends have always speculated about this, and I hope he'll forgive my saying if he reads this. His friends have sometimes thought that perhaps it was Edward's influence, who had many mistresses, so that came as a young man, and the young boy seemed to Brett, the way to do things. And so he has had a great many mistresses,
mm-hmm,
and a number of marriages. And he'll tell you he loves the little dears. That's the way he'll put it. So in modern terms, if you just took the surface of it, the people he's really been close to, however, he's been quite close to, and I will also say, once Brett does really give his loyalty, if you don't do anything to take it back, you have it. And I feel that, and I don't think that, so much for that. I don't remember I lost track of myself.
I get the feeling from something you said earlier that you would say he probably hasn't suffered any major disappointments in his career.
Because of women?
No, just in general. Now, I'm not even trying to relate that to the previous question.
I see.
Do you feel otherwise? I mean, do you feel...
Major disappointment.
I'm
not aware of it, except that maybe those long years of going with a relatively small audience, they would have ground down many a lesser man, that's certainly for sure. And Brett's just somehow shrugged it all off and just gone ahead. In some ways, you might think that this was the only thing that Brett could do well, and he could do it superbly well. And that was it. So it's his life, and he has let everything else. He lets it roll off his back, whether it's being compared to Edward or not making a lot of money, but one can speculate that they maybe have been in some way wearing. But he had a lot of fun along the way, just as Edward always did.
I wonder whether, to some extent or another also, he was affected by the massive undertaking, I believe you're probably involved in it too, of printing up all of Edward, that master set of negatives of Edward's work. It involved a tremendous amount of time and an enormous amount of energy.
Yeah.
Do you think that that cost him, I think, in terms of his own work?
Only in that was a year he didn't work very much for himself, although we got away, as I remember, from time to time. Brett couldn't have probably stood it otherwise. It was really a labor of love for Edward. Because this... I can't see it as having any major influence otherwise.
In terms of his current lifestyle, which, just in your own, within your own framework, I'm going to be planning to talk to him, and we're going to and I'll be having one other person with me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think his current lifestyle might affect an interviewing situation? How do you think he would? Can you foresee problems that I should be aware of ahead of time?
I don't think so. No, leave it up. I don't think so. He has a very lovely gal, and I don't know whether they're living right now. I've heard she's a very nice person, but I haven't met her. I've met some of his other gal friends, but she may or may not be living with him. I don't really know. And he has a big, comfortable house in Carmel Valley now. I think your best bet would be, well, you can ask him questions, but ask him less intellectual questions if you can. Ask him more specific things about himself and his life. If you can get him going on his memories of Mexico, he has hilarious stories to tell, for example, that are never been really written down. I don't know whether he will under these kind of situations. This could make him very... I've never seen him recorded. I don't know whether it'll make him.
Well, the thing that we would hope to communicate, and we work very hard to communicate it before we even get started, is just that ultimately he has complete control over the recording. I mean, this isn't just an idle kind of comment.
Yes.
He will receive the complete transcript of all recording, and he will have the right to make any deletions, corrections, changes whatsoever. So he's not in the position, which I think we all would be concerned about, of suddenly finding that you don't like the way it sounds, the things that you say, and feeling vulnerable about it, which I would feel anyway.
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing that we're very concerned that people understand. We're concerned about getting it down. We're not concerned about making this public and saying, look what people have said.
I forgot to really say before that I really hadn't thought it through that carefully, that I definitely would put restrictions on making a lot of this public because I may want to write some of it myself.
Right.
Particularly the material related to the aesthetic comparisons between Brett and Edward.
My discussion with you is not for public use at all. It's merely for my use.
Yes.
It's important to me to get a sense of things that otherwise I would go into a discussion completely unaware of, and I would
Are you going to be able to transcribe these and send me a copy?
I can have a transcription made, yes.
I'd like to, because
Certainly.
The thoughts I made, I might not remember, and
I'd be glad to. No problem.
I don't mean as a censor, because I don't believe I want to censor anything that I've said, but I just mean as a help to me if I go to write an article.
No, I'd be glad to do that.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to help you that way.
I'd be grateful.
What other people would you suggest off the top of your head that I talk to about background information? Let me tell you this. I'm planning, unsuccessfully, twice already, but I'm going to be talking to Ansel. He's very interested in talking to me about that.
I can imagine, because I will say for the record, really, Ansel's got his knife in Brett's back ever since I've known him.
Oh. Well,
and I think in some ways has been perhaps jealous of both Edward and Brett, whether his Puritanism is somewhat jealous of his high... And I think Ansel's terrific in his ways, too, but he's a very different chap from either Edward or Brett. And whether their exploits with women have done that to him, either through latent jealousy or actually... disapprovingness at some level. I don't know, but in any case, he really has had, ever since before I married Brett, he tried to dissuade me to, because Brett was such a gold digger, that their rich friends were afraid to have the daughters around, so he said, and this was just before Brett married me, who hadn't a dime. Ansel had been trying to,
In any event,
I think that you should take what he has to say, but I think with a grain of salt. He's very brilliant, and he'll say it very well.
I was gonna say he's wanted
very
to talk.
Persuasive.
He's wanted to talk though, and he seems very reinforcing. Now we haven't talked about it at all.
He will be.
I want to talk to you because Brett is such an important friend of mine. That's been his approach.
Because that's another thing, like Edward's fame, that Brett's just shrugged off. He must have known many times Ansel's done said snide things about Brett behind his back or about his work in the past. Anyway, maybe he's mellowed and does not feel that way anymore. Or maybe he won't want it going down to posterity that he has such negative feelings about it. But he has in the past, and Brett must have been aware of that. But I've never heard him say a word about it, and he ignores it. And is just as cordial with Ansel and as he ever was, you know, just goes right. People have really very much puzzled over Brett's character, personality. I think you'll understand this better after you meet him. Because there's a facade, which seems to be almost a series of cliches. Somebody said to me not too long ago, if he tells me that such and such joke one more time, I'm going to die or I'm going to throw up or something. Whether it's the thing about liking Bach for music or other things, or the little deer, calling the girls the little dears, that it's kind of hard to get behind until you know him well and have his trust. And I know people don't exactly know where it all comes from. I finally decided that Brett's art and the important things about him, which I've never heard him talk about, like certain strengths of character that I've discussed here, are simply, they're intuitive with him and they come straight out. And the rest, there's a very expansive, full of gusto, slightly macho persona. That throws a lot of people off on the surface. I never had that kind of thing because I was sort of within the family circle to begin with, even when I met Brett, and so I never had to contend with it in the same way.
Coming back to the question, do you have suggestions? Is there somebody you feel I should talk to that would... I mean, what you said about Ansel is interesting to me. I've heard some people tell me you should talk to such and such brother, and then I've heard other people say, listen, really, the relationships that Brett has with his brother, some of those aren't so good, and you'll find that won't be especially helpful to you. And
well, it depends on what you want. If you just want all the different sides of a question for posterity, then all you've got to do is try and be fair, that is, make it even up, like equal time on television. What do you want?
No, I'm just interested in providing for myself background of material so that when I can talk to Brett, when I meet with Brett, I'm able to ask the kinds of questions that you've suggested, in fact, that
mm-hmm.
I should ask, questions which he can, in fact, deal with,
mm-hmm.
that will not require...
If you ask him I don't know, people must have talked to him about it by now, but I doubt if he'll answer you if you ask things like, you know, how does your work relate to modern art, would you say, or whatever. But
no, I would never hit anybody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hit him over the head with that question.
No, I don't mean not to begin with. I only use that as a broad, classical example, if you will. But the specifics are better. And then let him go on. If he gets going, just kind of encourage him, because you don't know what'll come out. He can tell you a great many anecdotes of different periods and on a biographical level, both for himself and Edward and other famous people they knew. That could be fascinating. As far as I know, hasn't been done. Brett may find it rather wearing or boring or tiring. It's not the kind of thing he'd like to do, is sit and talk on a recorder. But he'll say, what can I tell you? And then sort of leave it up to you. But if you can get him going, I think...
Well, the important thing to communicate to him or to communicate to anyone is what you can tell me is a lot. And
yeah.
a lot of it may initially seem boring or seem not terribly important at the time. But in a context, it becomes very important.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing on which a lot of other people then generalize and make statements. And if we can provide people with a firmer basis,
mm-hmm.
a more specific basis, we can help people to mm-hmm. perhaps have more understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some ways, this last book of Brett's,
mm-hmm.
which I think is sad in terms of the... It might have worked out differently had Nancy Newhall lived to actually complete it herself, but as it now stands, the poetry is in juxtaposition to his work, and the layout just doesn't work too well in relation to Brett and his work, I don't think. And Brett is not showing early things now And even the early things that are in that book are so tiny that they don't have the power or the strength that the actual 8x10 prints do. And are you running out of time?
I'm doing okay.
If you can, well, it's not what you're trying to do. What I'm interested in myself is that Brett doesn't destroy all this early stuff for historical reasons. And it's there that you could possibly document if you can get him to show you early things or whatever he has left of it and data exactly. Rather than asking him, who did what first, if you can see as much of the early stuff and note the dates, you might later, or might, in conjunction with someone who knows Edward's work like myself, be able to figure out who did what first in that area.
In that book, it's interesting that you bring it up, and I wasn't going to touch on it specifically, but there's a thing that's kind of paradoxical to me, which is that nowhere in the book is there any picture of a person.
Which book? Brett's book.
Yeah, his new
book.
Yes,
that's what I was telling you.
And
really, portraits have played a much more minor role.
And there's no nudes in the whole book, other than the one small nude, which is an earlier image, which is inset, like you were saying, in a very small size.
Now, I don't know who's responsible for that editing, but Brett trusted Nancy implicitly, and she was there for a week in the fall before she died, a week or so, with Beaumont, going over Brett's work, and that's probably her selection, or lack of it. The few nudes I have seen of Brett's, I don't consider, they're not as great in their category as his best works of other kinds are in their category, in my humble opinion. But and I think that really both nudes and portraits play a much smaller role in his overall output than they did in Edward, no doubt. And that's why these are things and not people.
And perhaps also nudes and the showing of nudes really feeds that other thing we were talking about, the comparison, because Edward, so many of his bodies of works included nudes, and it would inevitably lead to the comparison between the way Brett photographed
nudes. Yes, well, he did an awful lot of nudes, Edward did, and he did a lot of portraits. As a matter of fact, Edward did more portraits in the course of his life than all his other work put together. He made some 10,000 or so portrait negatives. I mean, he really did an awful lot. That includes all the different ones you do at one sitting.
Sure.
And for, the first 50 years of his photographic work, he didn't do anything but portraits. I'm talking about Edward now. See, mine is a very loving view, and you can get some much pithier and perhaps more accurate views of both Edward and Brett than mine. Mine, as I say, is a biased view. It's a loving view, really, of both men. Now, I have somebody to suggest to you that you should talk to about Brett, and that's Don Ross, who's a photographer and an old dear friend of Brett's and mine, and also a highly verbal and wittily so person, man. Let me give you his address.
Okay.
He's also a very fine photographer himself, who is about to be discovered any year now.
And he's also I know.
If you catch him in a hurry, he may be going to Mexico for 6 months if he hasn't already gone. Don Ross, his address is 1 Sunset Drive, Berkeley. That's a mailing address. It's actually outside of Berkeley proper, and his phone number is Landscape 6-5388. You want the area code and the LA, whatever LA comes out to be on the present dials. Let's see. 5-2-5-2-6. I have to be sure I'm not giving you the wrong thing. He would be well worth your going to see, I think, of all the people who you not likely maybe to think of otherwise. There are other friends, and then there's a close friend and kind of protector of Brett's now, a lawyer who lives up in Carmel Valley too. Landscape 65388, yeah, that's right. But the Rosses go most winters. They often go to Mexico, to a house in Mexico. They may be gone by now, so try to catch them if you can before.
I'm going to be up in San Francisco next week, so if I can't catch them, I will call. now and see if I can arrange
If you want to turn that off, let's call now. I want to call him again.